beginning to read at verse 35. If you're following in the Pew Bibles, it's page 1064, John chapter 1, verse 35. Hear the gospel of our Lord, Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, my Lord. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Just pray before we start and then you can sit down. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will help each of us to listen to you. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's sit. Well, we're partway through a series on "You Are My Witnesses," and the subject I've been given to think about this morning is friendship. And I thought I'd better have some good quality examples of what friendship means. And so I looked in a book and I found one from Winnie the Pooh. And that went a bit like this. Winnie the Pooh, I think it was to Piglet, "If you live to be 100, I want to live to be 100 minus 1, so that I will never have to live without you." Another one I found for chemist Mark, the chemistry, and I thought one for him could be, a chemist might say, "The best vitamin is B1. B1. Okay, am I getting there? And just one other. Friendship is one mind in two bodies. I thought that was quite nice, actually. Now, our passage from John this morning, John chapter 1, starting at verse 35, if you'd like to turn to it, might be useful, is about the first disciples coming to meet with Jesus. And I think it gives a good picture, to start off with, of the openness of John. I'm amazed, actually. John was someone who was very famous in his own right. He'd been out there, and many, many people were coming to him to listen to him, and he was changing and baptizing them for the sins they had committed. But he saw Jesus, and he said to two of his disciples, "This is the Lamb of God. Follow him." Now, I wonder how many leaders in these days would say to their friends, "Follow that man over there. He's the one you should be listening to." But that's what happened. If we look further on in that story, in the next passage, in John chapter 3 and verse 30, he said, "He must become greater, I must become less." But those disciples did exactly that. One being Andrew, the other one we don't know, we think it might be John himself. They followed Jesus. And not only that, Jesus saw another man, Philip, and he said to Philip, "Follow me." And Philip did that, but he also went back and called Nathanael. Andrew had called Peter to come and follow. Each of them wanted the best for their friends and relations. And I just wonder whether we see that same importance for ourselves of our relations, our friends, coming to meet with Jesus. It seems from the passage there are three things that we can learn from looking at it, of how to be a friend of Jesus. And the first one of those was, it's got to be a personal friendship. You can't do it on behalf of someone else. And it's got to be a priority. We need to meet with him. And then the interesting one is that it's Jesus who sees our potential, not us. So let's look at each of those. And the first one, it has to be a personal meeting. For Andrew and the other disciple, they came to Jesus, and Jesus actually said to them, "What do you want?" Spoke to them personally. And for Simon, when he came, after Andrew invited him to meet with Jesus, he spoke to Peter, Simon at that stage, and gave him a new name. He called Philip, he spoke to him personally. And when Philip brought Nathanael, Jesus spoke to him too. It's that idea of a personal relationship with Jesus. And I think he wants to speak to us too. We need to meet with Jesus for ourselves. And then that second thing, it following Jesus needs to be a priority in our life. For Andrew, and if it was John, they followed him straight away. They spent the day with him. And then I just wonder whether we are willing to sort of see that, to observe Jesus closely. I was just thinking back, actually, of meeting important people. My friend Bob Fuller, some of you remember, he became a vicar later on. He was the vicar of St. John. He died 2 years ago now. But one of his stories, he was very good at stories, Bob. But he said that he was working at Spitalfields, and he actually met Princess Alexandra one day. She came to see the work at Spitalfields among older people, and he sort of half curtsied instead of bowing to her. You know, he got confused. For me, a similar experience was with Justin Greening, who was Minister of Transport at that time. I built Putney Medical Centre, and she came along to open it, and she was MP for Putney at that time. And she spoke to me, and I sort of got slightly confused, and I had a canapé in one hand and a glass of champagne in the other, and I managed to drop the canapé, and I bent down to pick it up, and I poured the champagne over her feet. But she was really gracious, actually. She stayed with me and talked to me for longer, but it was a bit of an embarrassing experience. That question that Jesus asked the disciples, what do you want? I'm sure they were confused in that. They didn't know what to say, just like my embarrassment. What do you want? Jesus asked. Where are you going? They said. And then he said, stay with me, find out. Those who joined in Closer a couple of weeks ago, I don't know, anyone would admit to being part of Closer? I did it 2 years ago and found it was two, wasn't it, or three? I can't remember. It was a really valuable experience to have someone, in effect, walking alongside you, guiding through prayer, a response to Jesus. It's sort of exactly that, walking alongside to try and hear Jesus talking to you. And I'm sure many benefited. I'll mention one in a minute who shared with me. But just to have a priority for making time for Jesus, to talk to him through prayer, and not only to talk to him, but to listen to him, to see what he might be saying. Now, those words might come through someone else. That's how Jesus speaks. Jesus can speak through his word in the Bible. Sometimes you get that just inner thought of something that you should be doing. We need time to walk with him, a personal relationship, to make it a priority to do that. And then my third point was that it's Jesus who shows us what potential we've got. When the disciples came, they responded to him. Andrew was good at bringing people to Jesus. You only get three references to him in the Gospels. On one occasion, he brought Peter, Simon his brother. On another occasion, he brought the boy who had his lunch, those fishes and bread, which were then spread to 5,000 people. And then in another passage, he brought some Greeks to Jesus, to meet with Jesus. But Peter, when he spoke to him, he saw Peter's character. And he said, you're going to be Cephas, Peter, the rock, on whom I'm going to build my church. Well, I wonder if we sort of kind of understand that we're part of that ongoing team that Jesus is building up from those disciples, using us where we can best develop our potential. But that does mean sticking close to him, making following him a priority in our lives. How about each of us? We're here in church this morning. I don't know whether you sort of feel you've been called. I had to come because Mark had asked me to do the talk. How about you? Were you dragged along? Did you want to come? Did you think that you were going to meet with Jesus through his Spirit this morning? Is that the sort of anticipation that you had? And I want us to try and imagine Jesus asking each of us, what do you want? What do you need? Is it some sort of feeling about problems with our friends and family? It may be just wanting to know that we're accepted and loved by Jesus. One person I spoke to who I'd known for a long time, a friend who had been on that closer course, was aware that there were sort of inconsistencies in his Christian life, and he felt sort of kind of guilty about that, and I'm sure that most of us could sort of echo that in our lives. And he was encouraged to hear Jesus saying to him, "I want you just as you are. You're my friend, and I love you." How life-changing is that? While we live on earth, it's never too late to respond to Jesus. And like the disciples, he understands us. And before we reach out to him, he's already there waiting for us. There's a famous quote from St. Augustine. He said, "We could never have started seeking God unless he had found us." I want to read you a little story which someone sent to me on Facebook this week. It's a post actually from a Bible society. I took it off on my phone and then wrote it out because I couldn't read it. But it's from a Bible society, but it just seemed relevant to us this morning, of just someone finding out that love of God. It goes like this. "I was 19 when I found my girlfriend in bed with three blokes, and it sent me off the rails. I ended up homeless. I rang my dad, who had left home when I was 6 years old, and he put me in a bed and breakfast. But while I was there, I embezzled the money out of the landlord's bank account, and I ran away, and I managed to avoid the police for 3 days. But then I walked into the police station and gave myself up. After a bit, my dad came and picked me up, and he said, 'We're going to church.' And he dragged me along there, and I hated it. The bloke at the front was telling my story, and I was yelling at him. But it was a story of a prodigal son. And I cried and cried. That was 30 years ago. The Bible came into my life straight away. My dad gave me one. I wasn't perfect, as you can imagine. But I've been hungry for so long, and the Bible was the best meat that I could ever have eaten. My mum had said to me as a child, 'You're useless. You will never amount to anything.' But the scripture said I was precious, and God would work on me until he was done. He would be my strength. And it was wonderful. Now I design signs that are used at Heathrow and by the side of the roads. And if I've got to go and visit a client, I can drive there to see a customer. And if it's a long way away, I can listen to a Bible passage as I drive. There are moments, he says, when the world seems that it's crashing in around you. And that just grounds me. The Bible is a love story that makes me feel loved and embraced. It's incredible." My question is that true for us? To feel loved and embraced, to know Jesus as your friend. We may think, why is Jesus bothering with me? What have I got to offer? But he knows our potential and longs to use it. As I said, that may come through the words of others as they challenge you to do something different, maybe to step out of your comfort zone. We're thinking about that a few weeks ago too. But the promise is the closer we come to Jesus, the deeper will be the impact on our lives. And my question again is, are we willing to make him a priority in our lives? James 4 verse 8, come near to God and he will come near to you. There's a song that I'd like the music group to lead if they would now. And then we'll have a short prayer just after we've sung it together.